The Breakfast Huddle on Money FM 89.3 with Elliot Danker and Yasmin Yonkers. Money FM
89.3. You know, going through a divorce is a very stressful and life-changing moment. I saw my parents go through it. It can get complicated and even out of hand at sometimes.
Number of divorce cases in Singapore inching up since 2015. According to the Singapore Department of Statistics, there were 1.2% more divorce cases in 2016 as compared to 2015.
Now, in 2016, the proportion of male divorcees aged 45 and above grew from 31.4% in 2006 to 42.3% in 2016. For female divorcees, the pool rose from 20% to 28.4% over the same period. Well, it doesn't look good, but what do women go through during a divorce? Mm-hmm.
Are women still entitled to alimony? I hear, certain friends of mine say who go through separation and they say, yeah, I'm not entitled to get something. And I don't really ever understand the whole proceeding, you know, and okay, it's really quite complicated. And they're confused themselves, too, as to what their rights are. Do we still need a women's rights group today in Singapore? Or are we already equals? Well, the good person to address that this morning is somebody who's been championing these causes for so many years now and has, you know, won awards for that. Dr. Anima Tan is here with us, somebody who sought a seat at the United Nations Committee on the Elimination of Discrimination Against Women. You're a lawyer and a founding member of the Singapore Council of Women's Organizations. I know that it's not really your voice that's going to be the focus today, but can I just have you say good morning, Dr. Anima Tan?
Hi, good morning. I'm sorry I've lost my voice over the last 14 days or so, but happy International Women's Day to everyone in Singapore. Nice. I'm so happy to be here this morning.
Yes, but doing a lot of talking on your behalf based on your thoughts and your research is your colleague, Ms. Sarah Mae Thomas, both of you lawyers and fellow activists from Anton and Associates. Good morning, Sarah.
Good morning. Thank you for having me here on the show.
All right. Let's go to the latest that's happened in Parliament. Currently, only one party of a divorced couple can buy or own a subsidized flat within 3 years from the date of their divorce. But now, to help divorcees make that smoother housing tradition for the benefit of their children, both parties can buy or own a subsidized flat each upon divorce as long as they're able to meet the eligibility conditions. What are your thoughts on this, and does this really help women?
Well, I am so pleased that this has come about. And I think it's kudos to our government for thinking this through, because this has been a great problem for housing. I'm so sorry. I would have loved to say a lot more about this, but my voice comes and goes, you know, Sorry about that.
Dr. Yeah. Anima Tan, this only means you're going to have to come back. You know that, right? All right. And Dr. Anima Tan founded the Singapore Association of Women's Lawyers. Can you tell us how you've managed to help women in the community in Singapore?
Yeah, so Dr. Tan actually started out the SAWL, Singapore Association of Women's Lawyers, as with eight other young lawyers who felt that there was a need for the dissemination of information for the people of our community. And she tells me about, you know, back in the 70s, there were women working in these factories in Jurong, and they would be doing, you know, hordes of women entering the job market and doing soldering of chips, and they weren't aware of their own labor rights, their protection of their employment rights. And Dr. Tan would come in during their lunchtime and actually tell them about, you know, issues that concerned women, so like sexual harassment. She would talk about their labor laws, and it was really to disseminate information to empower women. And today, SAWL actually does legal counselling for women. They come into the SCW building and we give them free legal counsel.
I'd like to get your comments on this. As a species, as a society, we've come a long way. Now there's so many movements promoting equality with women, women's rights. Personally, I'm a huge feminist. I believe women are better than men. That's my personal belief. Yet, here we are in Singapore and many countries in the world with a charter called the Women's Charter that still exists. Now, the Women's Charter was created, set up in an era where women were dependent on men. So, if this charter still exists, do you think, in your opinion, does it hinder the progress of women? Does it make us still assume that women need help?
Yeah, no, it doesn't hinder the rights of women. I mean, I think it definitely protects the rights of women and children, and I think maintenance is one issue.
Sure.
You know, I'll ask you the question, you know, isn't there still a wage gap between men and women?
Ah.
And of course, the answer is a resounding, there is a wage gap. Until the day comes where women will earn 100%
right.
that a man earns, we need to protect their rights. We need to protect their interests and promote their equality. So it's not outdated.
Yeah. Age gap, maintenance, all these very useful. But what other aspects of the Women's Charter do you think needs an update?
I think when it pertains to divorce for women, let's stop pointing fingers at other people. So let's move away from a fault-based system to a no-fault-based system where, you know, you just have a period of separation, whether you go in the direction of the United Kingdom or Australia, where you just have a one-year bar of separation between the parties, rather than saying, you did wrong or this person did wrong.
Yeah, because proving the elements of an irretrievable breakdown of marriage can be a bit complicated.
Yes, it's a lot of name-blaming.
He said, she said. Yeah.
Sure. Gunslinging kind of activity, right? Okay, can you tell us about the age groups that are affected most by divorce at this point in time? Where is it worst, Sarah?
I think below the age of, 20 to 24 is probably the worst, the highest increase of divorce rates, and then it kind of plateaus after the age of 30 for married women. Mm-hmm. But the divorce rates certainly have gone up over the years. Like in the 1980s, you had, for the 25, 29 age group, you had per 1,000 married women, you had 7 per 1,000. But now in the same age bracket in 2016, you have about 15 for every 1,000. So it's definitely been a rising trend.
What are some of the top causes of divorce cases?
Yeah, so I think the top cause is infidelity of a spouse. That's one area where it's a cause of a breakdown of a relationship. And of course, finances, disagreement about finances, you know, how we should live, how we should spend our money. And then, of course, you have a breakdown of communication.
Sure.
And that, of course, leads to, you know, divorce and separation of parties.
Mm. Wow. You know, some people view divorce as finding independence. And at some point in your life, you just need more independence than in other eras. What do you have to say about that?
Look, I think when a relationship is no longer meaningful for the party, and especially in cases where there's abuse or just extreme dysfunction, then it definitely is, you know, a situation where the person can just break free from that thing that they're being held onto like a prisoner and spread their wings and fly.
So do some women view divorce as empowerment, perhaps?
Definitely. I think so. I think it just empowers them to break free and to move past and to gain that new sense of independence and move on with their lives.
Anything that would have surprised you over the past couple of years?
Well, something that Dr. Tan has always told me about is this one case where she had a house husband. And the courts were not, in the 80s, were not willing to understand that there were men that could look after and rear children.
Yeah.
And so they just thought he was a lazy person and just was irresponsible. But in fact, this man was very responsible.
Sounds like the perfect husband, if you ask me.
My dream job,
man. So I guess the surprise was when, you know, the public or even the judiciary is not able to understand the role of men and women. And
So what happened then in that case? I guess the kids still went to the women traditionally and whatnot, and
yes.
The poor man had to lose everything that he had worked
for. Yeah, so he didn't get very much of the whole asset stake. Yep.
Seeing as this took place in the 80s, I'm assuming, and I'm only assuming, that he had to pay maintenance. Did he have to?
Fortunately, his wife then was earning quite a lot of money.
Right.
But he had to pay the $1.
The token $1.
Yes. And he also had to contribute towards the children.
Oh, dear.
But, the good thing was I asked him if he wanted to appeal, and I was willing to do that for him for free because I felt it was so unjust.
Mm.
But, you know, the good thing about him was he said, he wanted to, let's move on. He didn't want things to get bad. And you know what? After about 8 years or so, the children all wanted to go back to him.
I can imagine.
And that was really I don't know, maybe justice does
exist.
And,
Well, Elliot, you talk a lot about this, the fact that women earn more than men in many cases.
Yes.
And then in divorce, you also have a question.
You see, they've been talking about this for a long time. It's been tabled that if a woman earns more than a man, and we've been assuming for the longest time that men have to pay maintenance, right? Woman earns more than a man, that can be a consideration as to how much maintenance a man has to pay. But I believe this has not been passed yet, or is it still just a consideration? Is there a law to this yet?
No law yet. No law yet. But let me say that at the end of the day, yes, that is taken into consideration. And I'm really happy to see that, you know, things to be a little bit fairer. I'm all for being fair and just. And at the end of the day, what are we looking at? We're looking at really the family.
Right. Yes. Where the parties to move on and the children to still have some form of upbringing.
Correct. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, of course, a lot of that fairness and a lot of the open-mindedness that you possibly see in the courts today is really due to the good work that you've done over the years, Dr.
No. I think it's basically everyone that is really concerned, and that includes everyone in the community, both, you know, government, society, and all of us. We all have a responsibility.
Dr. Anna Matan and Ms. Sarah May Thomas, lawyers and fellow activists from Anton and Associates, here in the studio with us. Let's talk a little bit about how families have become a little more savvy. There are situations where women earn more than men. But in, you know, like a divorce case these days, where you have grandparents who are very savvy as well and totally get involved and really have money to pump into, you know, certain cases, do they complicate things?
Sometimes, yes, I'm afraid so. But I think they actually try to think what is best. You really have to engage them, yeah? And if they understand that it is for the good of the family and the children, I think the interest is mainly the grandchildren. And if that can be sort of, you know, thought through, yeah? This is what's happening really at the ground level. And I hope that we can continue this dialogue with the grandparents, because sometimes they do not understand. You know, they are very, what do you call it? I wouldn't say clannish, but, you know, I want to protect.
Mm-hmm.
That's correct, to protect.
Mm.
But don't go to the extent of, you know, causing more difficulties.
Let's go into some, let's take a more educative tone. What are some rights that women have access to that they're not commonly known?
I think a lot of women don't know that they can actually claim maintenance during the course of a marriage. And whilst the maintenance that the husband has to pay is, it's different because it's modest.
Right.
So as a former wife, it's really division of the surplus wealth, you know, accumulated in the course of the marriage. But for a married woman, it's just to meet her immediate financial need. So that's a lot of women don't realize that they have that right.
Because you're still entitled to live the life that you've been given whilst you were married, right?
Exactly.
Ah.
Yes.
Do you think enough is being done to protect the rights of women here in Singapore? If you had an opinion, what else needs to be given attention?
I think there are lots of things being done to protect the rights of women, in particular combating all forms of violence against women. There are lots of shelters that look after these women who suffer from marital and domestic violence. You've got PAVE, you've got the Star Shelter, just to name two. In terms of the way forward, I think that minority groups like Muslim women, you know, more awareness needs to be had. And we can have these conversations with care and sensitivity. So issues like Muslim inheritance, polygamy, all these kind of issues should be brought to the fore and maybe look at how other Muslim countries deal with these issues.
Mm. Actually, when it comes to Muslim divorces, so which country would you say is at the forefront of innovation when it comes to taking care of women?
I think one good area one looks at would be like Tunisia, Egypt, quite a few actually, if one looks at it. The important thing is, of course, to make sure that there is equality. And even if you look at it at the basis of what is just and equal, yeah, I think that's the most important. Fair. Be fair.
Yeah? Sarah, what does equality mean to you?
equality is when both genders can actually have empowerment in all areas of life, be it the work, be it outside work. Yeah. In a day where that woman is seen as a co-equal with a man.
All right.
Yeah.
Elliot and I started the day with this conversation that maybe one day we shouldn't have an International Women's Day anymore. Because, you know, if everybody's already equal, or we already see each other as equals, do we really need a day just to celebrate the equality or the rights of women? Yeah. Maybe it could be outdated and out of fashion at some point.
I would like to work. And every one of us to work towards that. What a wonderful utopia it will be.
Don't say utopian, it's a reality. Okay. How do women turn a divorce into a new opportunity for independence?
Well, break free from the past and look to the future. I always tell my clients, you know, don't hold on to the bitterness because bitterness is like a poison you drink for yourself. Just break free, use this as an opportunity to move forward and realize that you've got capabilities. You are a woman with options. We live in a society where there are support systems in place. So tap into those support systems and rise up and soar. Just trying not to hold on to the hurt and to the past.
Yes, and don't think that the poison you are drinking, you're expecting the other party to die? No way.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that before.
Maybe in a Shakespearean play, yeah. Big question, technology all around. Is technology helping the legal industry in Singapore? How does that happen, Sarah? Lawyers now have something called LawNet. It's a new app that helps calculate the estimated division of assets. This is, I think, an exciting development. Are you for it? Does this help?
Okay, so the new app would probably only help in situations where there's a very clear division. Okay, these are my bank accounts and these are your bank accounts and the only joint accounts is what we use for the house. So in the app won't be able to kind of calculate soft issues like indirect contributions of one spouse over the next, parenting, contributions towards the children, child rearing, all of those things. So I think each case has its own nuance. And it'd probably be helpful in some situations, but definitely not in a majority.
How else does technology help? We know, okay, there's this app that sort of helps to calculate the division of assets. LawNet is something that lawyers can access as well. Is there anything else that might help lawyers?
For precedence, it's very good. And also, you know, to look at how chances are if one wants to look at it. Mm-hmm. Question of maintenance, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, it can help. I'm not saying it doesn't help at all, but I think to really say that it's going to be the panacea to all the problems, I don't think it's that easy. But let's see how it develops. I'm all for, you know, something to help us to work better, to work faster, and to work more efficiently. Not that we are not doing it so efficiently now, but it can be improved, I'm sure.
Technology still has a ways to go. Actually, Elliot, you were doing a bit of snooping about technology and the breakdown of marriages, and you made a connection.
Yeah, well, especially when it comes to settling the division of assets, or and very rarely these days, you know, divorces go to trial, right? But one of the peeves that a lot of my lawyer friends tell me is, you know, something like WhatsApp. That's the real disruption to them because they're in court, their client sends them a message, and, you know, it's clearly been read, right? And the client starts to hound them, why are you never replying? Message, no, I'm in court. But I ran this idea. Could the legal sector face something like a disruption from an Uber of the legal sector where there's no more need for the human element?
They call it the Uberization of the legal sector. I think maybe in areas like generation of wills or document-heavy, intensive areas, then maybe that might assist.
Okay.
But in areas like divorce law, where there's human emotion, where there is people involved, I don't think we're going to experience the Uberization of family law.
And
definitely
I suppose
not.
You still need a judge anyway.
Exactly.
Right?
You need an actual person to consider the issues that concerns both parties. So.
All right. Tell us about the financial misconceptions when it comes to divorce.
Like, is it right to assume that you are definitely entitled to a standard percentage of the assets?
I mean, a lot of people think that, like, for example, you have women that come in from other countries, sham marriages, and they think, okay, yeah, I can get 50% of this man's assets. So that's definitely a misconception. And we've had those cases as well. Yeah, so I think when it comes to the equal division of assets, people have a misconception that they come in for a short period of time and then can just have a claim.
Okay, what are some of the considerations then when we're talking about the division of assets? I'm assuming now the percentages, well, actually, I know that, but I'm assuming that the percentages are always different. But what does a judge consider?
A judge will consider the direct and indirect contributions of both the parties, financial and non-financial.
Okay.
So non-financial will be, as what I've said, you know, child rearing, looking after the children, the parents, and even in cases where there's been a housewife who's helped in her husband's business, you know, helped him with his career, all these things are quantified as indirect contributions.
Wow, that's pretty a lot on the plate.
That's why you still need a divorce lawyer, I think.
That's why I didn't
build your case for you. He was interested at one time.
Okay.
At one time.
Not too late.
I don't know. I mean, I've been out of the game for like 15 years, and I do find that I'm quite out of touch because the law, I won't say it's constantly changing, but there's so much being done to evolve. I used to visit the old Supreme Court, and now I look at it, it's so beautiful.
Actually, one person who could make a very good then and now sort of comparison would be Dr. Anna Matan herself, who's been a lawyer for, you know, a very long time. So, you're really, really a legend almost. And, you know, of course, the work that you've done for women and equality. I mean, what are your thoughts, you know, over the years? Do you have sort of observations that you would like to share?
I wish I've got my voice. I've got plenty to share. Wow. But it's been quite an experience. I really am grateful for being where I was at the right time. I think that we can only do our best.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mm. And I can see the changes. And I'm so grateful. The changes are for the better. I can only hope to see better and better things to come.
Okay.
Actually, I've got a question about this one, and pardon my ignorance for this. Do you see more female lawyers or more male lawyers today?
Well, I hope to see a good batch of both.
Okay.
And I think that it's important for our own development, for our own society to develop, that at the end of the day, it doesn't matter whether you're a male or a female lawyer, as long as you're a good lawyer.
Actually, that's what International Women's Day is supposed to achieve.
Yeah.
Equality in numbers, as opposed to more of one than the other.
Yes.
Absolutely, right? Anyway, thank you so much to Dr. Anna Matan and Ms. Sarah May Thomas for your time. You're both from Anton & Associates. Happy International Women's Day. We hope to have you both back. Coming up, it's a recap of what's been happening with Mr. Trump, with Richard Jerram, the chief economist from the Bank of Singapore. But speaking of Trump, Dr. Anna Matan, you just let go of a very interesting anecdote. You've actually met the man.
Yes. Yes. And actually, he's quite charming.
Where did you meet him?
At Trump World Tower.
At Trump Tower. The tower itself. Oh, my goodness. Well, now you will be lucky if you could even step foot in that tower with the amount of security. Yeah. So Donald Trump's charming, according to Dr. Anna Matan.
Money FM 89.3. Stay ahead.